Hi there, folks. Welcome to the Living Waters Bubble Talk, if that's what it's called. I'm Peter. It's my pleasure to be talking to you today. As usual, for those who know me, I do things a little bit differently, but I think it's probably okay. I'm sure you'll cope. Yeah, it's good. I'm hoping by the time that you actually see this, some of the lockdown restrictions will be starting to ease and life might be inching its way towards normal. So let's see. First thing though is I need to apologise because I'm only going to tell you what this talk is called about halfway through, which I know is very annoying. It's like going to the cinema, isn't it? And you're just getting into the movie, just getting into the action, and then they stop it and tell you what the titles are. All the James Bond films were like that too, extremely annoying. Anyway, apologies for that, but you'll see why a bit later on. I need to build up the background first before I tell you the details of what I believe God is saying to us this morning. So this all started a few weeks ago, when Claire quoted a verse when she was talking about the Bible. She quoted John 10:10, which says, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full," which is good. But if you read the phrase before that, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy." Steal, kill and destroy. Now, if you substitute the word COVID for the word thief, I think that's a pretty good description of where things are as of now. The thief, COVID, the world, the devil, they're all the same thing. COVID does not come from God. Are here to steal, kill and destroy. But God has come that we might have life and have it to the full. So God was saying to me, well, these two things are completely different. One is not the having life and have it to the full. It's not a sort of spiritually turbocharged version of the life of the world. It's completely different, like chalk and cheese. But chalk and cheese, not easy things to remember. So I've been trying to come up with a picture that I hope will stick in your heads of the differences between the life that God wants us to have and the life that the world wants us to have, especially in the COVID situation now. So we can all imagine life as it is right now. We're stuck at home. We've seen the insides of our houses for too long, probably, and it's confining. It's a bit restrictive. We're not doing the things that we want to be able to do. Now I realise what I'm going to say next is something of a hostage to fortune, and I realise I will also get no sympathy whatsoever. But it is 16 months. Since I last got on an aeroplane. Now, I know at this point there'll be a lot of you thinking, oh dear, Peter's only worried about that, he hasn't been on an aeroplane, I've been at home homeschooling the kids, he doesn't realise what's going on, da-da-da-da-da. And you're probably right. But our worlds have shrunk. My world has shrunk in its own way. I'm used to swanning around the world doing projects, this, that and the other, and I haven't. So all in our own way, our world has shrunk. So we are in a confined world. We're in a world with a lot more limitations than we're used to. So that's the worldly part of the contrast. That's the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy part of the contrast. Life and having it to the full. This was what I thought might stick in your minds as a visual representation of that. Think of the opening scene in The Sound of Music. I'm sure you've all seen it, or you've seen the posters for it or something. Think of Julie Andrews swanning around with her arms out, singing her heart out on those alpine pastures. Nobody in sight. Acres of space. Beautiful views in the distance. Mountains, lakes. That, compared with the confinement of seeing the inside of your house only for the last 12 months, that is a visual representation of life and life at all the full. It's not perfect, but I'm sure it'll stick with you. So God was really wanting to say, look, life that I want for my people is not the same as just to help them get by with the life that's going on now. And heaven knows we all need help with life as it's going on now. But God has got so much more. So we're going from the confines of our own house to a Julie Andrews moment. That's what I want to talk about. And now I get to the point where I'm going to tell you what it's called. Hooray! And so this talk is called The Bigger Picture, which also explains why I'm sitting in my front room with this picture behind me. And quite a lot of you have probably been thinking, why is Peter not sitting in the middle of the picture? Doesn't he know how to get these things right? Well, he probably doesn't, but I have deliberately sat here so that this picture is there, because this is a bigger picture. For those of you who are curious, this is Patagonia, down in the south of Argentina, a picture taken by my son Michael when he was down there with Amy, well, I don't know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And I would suggest to you that if you were standing on that lake and you saw those mountains and the sky and everything there, it would be quite hard to think small thoughts. It's just spread out in front of you. And so God wants to say to you, I have a big picture for you. I have a life spread out in front of you that I want you to learn how to access, work in, and get the benefits of, the blessing of. That's what God wants for us, the big picture, not the confinement, not the being stuck to down, not that, this. So that's what we're going to talk about. And there are two steps to doing this, and there's a Bible verse for each. That's good. So the first Bible verse is one that you know well. We quote this quite often. Jeremiah 29:17. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Now, it's important to get the context of that Bible verse right. It's not a sort of spiritual get-rich-quick scheme, which unfortunately in the past it has been used as. It's important to get the context. That was told to the prophet Jeremiah when the people of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. Now, I imagine they didn't speak the lingo, they didn't understand the culture, so despite putting to one side the fact they were there as captives, it was a completely different world. They got no idea what was going on. And so you could say that for them, their world was completely different. They didn't have any idea what was happening, where it was going, what was going to happen. And then in the middle of all this, God speaks to them through Jeremiah. And he said, look, I have a plan for you. I know where I want to take you. I know what we want to do with you and to bless you. And that is not too different, perhaps, from where we are now. We're a bit captive, not in the same way as being in Babylon. But you couldn't put your hand up and say you're entirely free to do exactly what you want at the moment with COVID, because you're not. So we are in slight captivity to the world of COVID, but God says, I have plans for you to prosper you. Prosperity is not just about cash. Prosperity is about a way of life, a fulfilling, total way of life. That's prosperity. Prosperity of the mind, of the spirit, as well as of the circumstances. And he wants to give us hope. It's not a hope, it's hope, period. Hope, total, 24/7, 365 days a year, hope. Hope is in short supply right now. But God has tons of it. And he wants to give us that hope, so that as we look to the future, we may not understand it. We've certainly not got a real clue what's going to happen. But we have the hope that God is with us, and he knows, because he's completely outside time. He knows what's going on. So he wants us to be hopeful. Not in the, oh, well, I hope it might happen sort of style, but hopeful because God is on our side. Hope, as in the Bible, has an expectation. There's an element of expectation. So God is bringing us hope and expectation of a future, a good future. That's what he wants to. So God wants us to have a big picture for our lives, not confined, not just inside our own four walls. God wants to have us to have one of these for the way we're going, the way we're going to develop our lives. So the question is, how do we do that? Perfectly reasonable question. So the first thing we have to do is, the Bible verse I've just read, talking about God knows the plans he has for us, he wants to prosper us, he wants to give us hope, he wants to give us the future. How much do we actually believe that? Now, hear me clearly on this. This is not a test. It's not an examination. I'm not going to come around with a clipboard and bang on your door and say, now, have you got this sorted? But it is a valid question. Because if the world that God wants to take us into, if the life that God wants to take us into through Jesus, we don't believe he wants to take us there, then we got a bit of a dilemma, haven't we? So nobody, I'm sure, is 100% of the time thinking, God's blessing me, God's blessing me. It's just not possible. But we do need to get a grip of the concepts behind this verse of where God wants to take us. And it's more than we see now. It's this thing here. It's the bigger picture. So how do we do that? Well, I told you I wasn't going to do things quite differently. So the first question is, and you need to be honest with yourself, possibly more than anybody else here, how much do you believe what I've just read? How much do you believe that's what God wants to do? It's a valid question, people, because we need to understand where God is wanting to take us, then we can go there. If we're resisting because we don't believe he wants to take us there, then it's going to be a bit of a struggle and not good. So we need to slowly understand more and more and more of where God wants to take us, the bigger life, the life in all its fullness, the Julie Andrews moment of where he wants to take us. That we need to understand more and more about that. And the way to do that is to pray. But the better way to do that is to pray for God's revelation about that for somebody else and get somebody else to pray for you. Then we're doing this together. Then we're walking together. We're going together. We're looking for God to show us individually, but together as a group, how he wants to show us the bigger picture, person by person by person. So task number one, be honest with yourself how much you really believe this. As I say, it's not an exam, but it is a thing we need to ask. Task number two, who should I pray for that they will understand more and more of God's bigger picture, their plan, their hope and the future for them? Who should that person be? And then pray for them on a regular basis. I don't know what that means. It may not be every day, but set yourself a discipline to pray for that person, for this, for their revelation, their understanding, so that you see changes in them. And then people are praying for you, they will see changes in you, and then you can talk about it and it all grows and we all understand and we get quicker to where God wants us to be, life in all its fullness. He really wants us to get there, folks, and we get there by helping each other, by praying for each other, by going on this journey together. So that's step number one. Step number two, let me read you out a slightly longer verse from Ephesians. Paul at this point is praying for the Ephesians to really understand the scale of God's love, how big it is, how fantastic it is. So he says this, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God's love is so huge that he wants to have this bigger picture for us all. And we need to pray for each other. This is task number three now, isn't it? Pray for each other for a better understanding, a greater understanding of how massive God's love is for you, how much he wants to do for you. It's great. The more we learn about this, the more life becomes a real, real deep-seated, down-in-your-spirit joy. So Paul is praying for that. Then immediately after that, Immediately after that, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." So God is able to do much more than you can even imagine. We should be praying, we should be asking God for the situations, we should be imagining things. But all I'm saying is, don't be surprised because of the scale of God's love if the answers you get blow your mind. I, for one, am seriously up for some blowing my mind experiences because of the greatness of God. So the answer is how to see the wider picture, the bigger things, the future that God has for you, is to be honest about where you are, to pray for others, others will pray for you, and then let God do it. Don't try and do it yourself, we're not that good at it. But God is brilliant, and the scale of his love will always want to do immeasurably more than we can imagine or ask. That, to me, folks, sounds like a pretty good life. That's the sort of bigger picture life that I think all of us want down in our heart of hearts. So this will have been slightly different. It will have been perhaps not what you were expecting, but there you go. All I want to say is, even in these awful, confined days, God is out there and God wants to be with us out there to make our lives more powerful, more blessed, not just for our sake. The more blessed we are, the more blessed we can help others. That's how the kingdom of God works. So God is just saying, come on, let's do this. And we need to go along at the pace with the understanding that we have. It's good to start from where you are. I'm absolutely convinced about that. But this is a challenge for us all. And it's not a challenge, as I said lots of times, this is not a challenge like a test. It's a challenge because God's love is so big and there's so much he wants to do for us, we just need to get it. Okay? So I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not confined by the world. You're not restricted by the things we see, the things we do. You are infinitely powerful. You have made everything from the smallest atom to the largest galaxy. Lord, we put our faith in you. We trust you to show us more of your love, the scale of your love. And then, Lord, to do those things for us that show us the hope that you want to give us, the future that you want to give us, the things that you want to do for us that we can't even imagine. Lord, we don't know where to start. Words don't really sort this out. But Lord, we want to put our hand in your hand and go where you are leading us, because we know that will bring hope, future and blessing beyond all imagination. So we thank you for that. And we trust ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys.